Howard back to throw. Sets up, looks all over, takes off running. Will Howard now throws into the end zone, wide open, and it's Judkins with a catch for the score. Will Howard started to run right up the middle, but he finds Quinshon Judkins on a six-yard TD pass play.
I'd like to know where Lou Holtz is right now.
Well, I win. Google me.
We're not hosting an intergalactic kegger down here.
Was this the greatest run to a championship we've ever seen in sports?
In sports?
Might be a hyperbole. Might be a little bit of recency bias here.
You're going to go college football. That's
might
like
be a little bit of recency bias.
Like Alex Smith saying Jaden Daniels is having the best rookie season in sports history. Sports history.
Let's see. That's tough. That's a tough one. But
I don't think it's tough. I think it's stupid.
Yeah, no, I'm saying it's tough to get. It's tough for him to say that.
Did he injure his head or his ankle?
But Ohio State went through a great, really great gauntlet to get here. And this all has to deal with context because there is no doubt that like the 2019 LSU team was better than this team. Right? They just had more. They were deeper. Several Alabama teams where you had, you know, the first, second, third string running back were all top 75 picks or whatever, right? But the gauntlet, they went through number one, number three, number five, number seven. They beat them all by double digits. And in three of the games, they were up by 20 or more. And in this one, they were up by 24. They had to win this one by double digits, and they had to cover because they deserved to win this game so much. I was sweating this one out. We were sweating this one out. If you had it minus eight, you knew you were getting a push. If you had it at 8.5 or nine, I mean, you needed that last field goal. By the way, anyone have a problem with the last field goal?
I mean, they were going to lose regardless, but yeah, you just go for it on fourth down.
Marcus Freeman on the decision to kick that.
I just thought, you know, instead of being down 16, let's try to go down 13. And I know it's still a two-score game, but you have a better probability of getting 14 points than you do 16 points. And so if it was a shorter fourth and goal situation, I probably would have gone for it. But I just felt fourth and nine was not a great chance for us to make that. And, you know, and decided to kick it, and we didn't make it.
I had a problem with it.
Yeah, fourth and nine is, like, you know, that's a lot. It's tough, especially when you're condensed down there in the end zone. But you, I mean, you're going to lose either way. You
might 9 minutes left.
Yeah, go for it. You needed, if you missed, if you
he
went,
made it nine, he, that took it from 16 to 13.
It would have, yeah.
Yeah, it would have.
Yeah, and if they.
So if, you still need the amount of scores.
Right. Like, you needed. You
need 2 2-point conversions.
Right, you do. So, like, let's just say they didn't, they said they decided to kick the field goal. Well, now you still need two more possessions.
Yeah.
Whereas if you went for it and got it, you only need one possession, and if you went for it and missed, you still just need two possessions.
If you go for it and you miss the two-point conversion, though, you still need two possessions. I'm guessing he's just thinking, we still probably need two more possessions regardless. The numbers say we're probably going to need two more possessions, and in this scenario, I get two more possessions and a chance to win rather than tie.
I will say this, though. Listen to this guy talk in game. My God, I wanted to jump through the TV screen. I wish there was smell-o-vision so I could see how scrumptious this guy smelled.
Throwing your boxers at the TV.
Like Roger Staubach and Gavin Spittle. He's just calm. He's cool. He's chill. He's measured. I could see why a lot of NFL teams wanted to speak with him.
I mean, I absolutely get it. And the players love him. The players wanted him to take the job over when Brian Kelly left. They were jubilant in the locker room when they did. So Ohio State gets the victory. Now, what does this do for Ryan Day? Obviously, he's the fifth coach to win a title at Ohio State. His legacy normally at a normal university with normal fans is completely cemented in lore. He's goated. He would, you know, Mack Brown wins at Texas. He lasted what, another 8 years?
Yep.
So, I mean, you think this buys him time, but does it at Ohio State? Like, how much time does this buy him? Does this buy him the next November?
Till the next loss at Michigan. When they lose to Michigan again, that'll get him. That'll get people.
They will get. We're asking two different questions. Like, how long will he reasonably have? Will the administration just cave to Wolverine fans going nuts? I mean, at least 2 more years.
College is a little different. If you've got like boosters who hate Michigan and are unhappy that you can't beat Michigan, you can push a coach out. If they're complaining enough,
Reitma just stopped me in the hallways. Like, we're gonna get the two most obnoxious fan bases now in this offseason with the Wolverines and the Buckeyes. By far the two worst fan bases. That's what he said.
They can absolutely. I don't know enough about Michigan fan base. Ohio State. I mean, Michigan fan base is huge.
Are people from Ohio, though, like, annoying? I don't think of Ohio as Philadelphia.
Yeah, Ohio's like code word for weirdos now.
Yeah.
Like, it's replaced Florida as just weirdos.
Skibbity Ohio.
Yeah, people say Ohio is just like a, it's like, oh, yeah, Ohio man or whatever. Yeah, Ohio's code for, like, weirdos.
Oh.
Like, the Michigan folk are super nice. Like, I go to Gaylord, they're super nice people.
Yeah,
but you start talking football with them, and they turn into a little obnoxious. That's just the way it is. So Kirk Herbstreit was talking about Ryan Day in the post game, and you know how proud and happy he is, and he got a little bit. Is it verklempt? Remember Saturday Night Live?
Yes.
Verklempt. He got a little verklempt.
Kirk Herbstreit join us now, and man, this story can now be told, right? You guys heard it. Holly asked him about it. We've all heard Ryan Day say the story can only be told if we win tonight. Herbie, I'll let you start as a guy who grew up there and wore the uniform. What's the story of this team?
Oh, don't start with me, man. I'm a little emotional. I'm just fired up for these guys. When I call these games, I'm incredibly objective. And I love all these Ohio State teams, but this team, because of what they went through, to get to this point, you're just happy, you know?
That's not going to do him any favors moving forward when he is answering the bias, objective criticism. Shout out to Tolo D for letting me know about that. But Choppy had already seen it. So I can guarantee you Troy Aikman will not be breaking down like that if the Dallas Cowboys go on to win the Super Bowl with Jerry Jones.
Yeah. He needs to just move on to his OutKick career.
Who?
Herbstreit.
Whoa.
That's what he's
got
to do.
I don't know if he's got those political thoughts. Maybe he does.
Maybe he does.
Yeah, remember we played the audio of him. He was like, I'm getting closer and closer to just saying what my beliefs are about things. And then he started ranting about girl transgender sports. And everything.
Girl sports and everything. Yeah. But that was one.
Maybe he'll just announce his political affiliation like Brock did.
Man. He announces his political leaning, somebody else's career ends. I mean,
Broad is coming out with it.
He just came straight out with
it. Don't be messy.
All right, so there was more. I mean, he was talking about, you know, he constantly hears things right now. He's plugged in, and he spent a lot of time in Columbus, obviously, very plugged in. What happens next?
Reset, and he's going to join that list of Ohio State National Championship coaches, Paul Brown, Woody Hayes, Jim Tressel, and Urban Meyer, and now Ryan Day. He's in that club.
How good does that sound, man? I'm a friend of his. I'm very objective and try to be as fair as I can be, but I hear the stories behind the curtain. I know what he and his wife and his family go through, and it's really it's tough. And it's tough to be a coach at a premium school where you're expected to win every game. He handled it with such class, and he gets on top of the mountain.
So,
jeez,
like, Herbie gets killed by Ohio State fans. They say that he is a hater. He's an Ohio State, and that's why he kind of has a soured relationship with Ohio State.
Yeah,
and it was like in this game, it all came like he was like that. No, I'm an Ohio State fan.
Yeah. My boy Link is listening in Ohio Odyssey app. He's very, very hurt by what we're saying about. Is it Ohioans? Is that what they
Ohio are? Whites, Ohio
okay,
whites.
Okay, so Ohioans. I don't say it about them. But like if you go to Urban Dictionary, Ohio, Florida of the Midwest, Ohio, it says slang for cringe or weird for Gen Alpha. Like, so they'll say whenever you've got awkward Riz or whatever else, they'll call it Ohio Riz.
Look, let me say this about Herbstreit. I really think he's a beast doing college football. I really enjoy him doing the games. I think McAfee has kind of given him a yellow light, maybe even a green light to say, you know what, I'm going to say what I want. I have enough money. They fly me around on a private plane. I think Herbstreit is a beast doing college football, way better than he is with Al Michaels for the NFL.
Yeah.
It's not even in the same sphere, in my opinion.
And it makes no sense why the two are different.
I know.
It's the same sport. It makes no sense. It's like...
Well, you got definitely the atmosphere for college is better. Mm-hmm. The chemistry with Fowler is definitely better.
Yeah.
So maybe there's an excitement, just chemistry thing with the environment.
Yeah, and like... Yeah, maybe there is.
And he's probably more comfortable. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm not questioning his NFL knowledge. He's probably more comfortable with college knowledge.
And didn't he say he stepped into the NFL job and he was like, this is not my realm, and so I need to be like a little more deferential, and I need to like basically he felt the need to just I can't step in here and be the authority that I've been other places. I need to earn my spot here.
But, like, do NFL fans not like would Dick Vitale go to an NBA game or Jay Billis and not be able to?
I think there's a lot of NFL fans who don't watch college at all. Like, and I just like there's a lot of college fans who don't watch the NFL. So I think there are probably a lot of NFL fans who aren't super familiar with Kurt.
That's fair.
College football kegger with RJ Choppy after the Buckeyes win the national championship.
I'm sure a lot of people got drunk yesterday at the game because the beer prices were just $5.
Man, Atlanta does it right.
Atlanta does it right.
They're the
envy. I drowned it in Tito's today.
The largest beer cost $10. You could have eaten...
Especially yesterday celebrating.
Yes. You could have eaten 6 hot dogs last night for the same price as you would have eaten 1 hot dog last year in the national championship game.
Where was the game last year?
Was it at... let's see. I don't remember where it was. Sorry. It was, so 2 years ago, it was in L.A., I don't know where it was.
You know what? Forget it. Go ahead. What are the rest of the prices?
So you had such cheap prices that you had available here. Like I said, the largest beer was $10.50.
It was Houston last year.
It's Houston. The cheapest beer was $5. You could have gotten a shake for $3. Your soda was $2 last night. $2 for a soda.
Wow.
Let's see. A chili cheese dog was $5.
Which one of you guys was explaining why this works? I think it was you.
Well, it was, you're talking about, you buy more, right? So you have cheaper concessions and cheaper merchandise. So you bring your family in, you buy tickets, you go to the game, everything's cheaper. So instead of buying one soda for the game and one hot dog, now you might buy 3 or 4 beers. And now you're more likely to spend merchandise.
So the numbers were showing it's working out for
them?
They
were showing that it was working out because... What they were losing in concessions, they were making up for in merch. Because what happens when you drink more? You become a little bit looser with your
spending,
with your willingness to spend. And all of a sudden, that overpriced $110 hoodie doesn't look all that bad when your team wins.
Yeah.
And that's just the reality of it. So
that's awesome.
That. Yeah, I think it's very cool. I think it's great. You get cheese nachos for $3.
Ooh.
Popcorn for $2.
Howard S. can be living at those concession stands.
A cheeseburger for $5. Hey, come on. You want a splurge? A stromboli is $14.
A stromboli?
A stromboli. A whole pizza was $18.
You burn it up like my weekend. You've done a nice job. You've shown restraint twice. Yeah, there was a hot dog joke. Ones. I saw you going with a hot dog and then something about another concession.
Another concession.
Dirty water dog.
The stromboli.
Dirty water dog.
Shout out Byron.
Do you want to do the Alabama caller real quick?
No, let's save it for inauguration talk.
All right, very good.
We are going to talk. Brought us about the inauguration. Good morning, Metroplex. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Roberto Belt. We got Pepe in the back live on the Fan Camp Twitch and YouTube. You know, I'm FAF, right? I'm the most objective person in the Metroplex. And even though I was ticked off, I was stunned that my report may end up being right about Brian Schottenheimer, I needed to give the guy a little bit of a chance. So we're going to get to know the possible next head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, and you're going to feel better about it today than yesterday. The audio with Brian Schottenheimer introducing himself to the Metroplex next. And that means we are commercial free, so no reason to go anywhere else on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers. Sean Shreve, RJ Choppy, alongside our Cowboys insider Bobby Belt. Where do we stand with the coaching search? Mike McCarthy. Now, Mike Florio had thrown this out there when McCarthy walked out of the building in Frisco. He goes, we can't rule out a McCarthy return. Wouldn't that be so Cowboy-esque if they brought Mike McCarthy back on the cheap, which they may have wanted to initially do, or under the Jason Witten babysitting agreement?
I'd lose a lot of respect for Mike.
Well,
Not if you want to work. Not if you want to work, no, but like it would be like, so the only thing that's different is you don't have a job? Like that's it? You're going to go crawling back at that I could see the Cowboys doing it. I really could. I don't know that I see Mike doing that. I don't know. Maybe he would.
It's impossible. They can't do
it. What's more likely? The Cowboys doing that or Mike doing that?
Cowboys.
That they reach out to him?
Yeah. But I would still say they can't do that. I can't ever see Jerry being like, yeah, they release a whole statement about mutually agreeing to part ways. And then they would have to come back and be like, well, you know what? We looked at it and we changed our mind. And Sometimes, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder. And
3 weeks of it.
That would not work. That would not work.
Leslie Frazier interviewed. Bones Fossil is going to the Tennessee Titans. And Nick Harris chimed in. Fort Worth Star-Telegram. I got a phone call from Nick yesterday.
Well.
By the way. Credit wars breaking out over Brian Schottenheimer, apparently, on the interwebs with people, different reporters.
He was fighting with you?
I'm not going to elaborate on our conversations. It was not a contentious phone call.
Okay.
But I got my scoreboard out.
Were you there?
I got my retweet credit scoreboard out. Here's what Nick had to say about it. There's still an overwhelming feeling that Kellen is the leader. And some believe that Robert Saleh is closing in following a strong interview on Saturday. This buzz has me believing it will lead to Schottenheimer sticking around. But as offensive coordinator for whichever head coach does end up landing the job. RJ Choppy did some Brian Schottenheimer homework.
All right. So I went and looked at where Shoddy was in terms of his offenses as a coordinator. I saw this thing posted. I don't care where the hell the offense is ranked when he was a quarterback's coach. Okay. Right? You know, that did nothing for me. So Schottenheimer had about 14 years as an OC. Okay? He ranked in the top 10 in yards rushing 5 times. Now, again, there's not a lot of nuance to these because you really need to go into efficiency and some of these numbers, you got to pay for them. I'm not paying for sites. You get, rushing yards could be something as much as, hey, you were winning, and that's why you're higher on the rush yards, because you're winning these games, right? So he ranked in the top 10 in yards rushing 5 times. His teams finished in the top 10 of passing yards just 1 time.
Ugh.
All right, that was with Dak. And look, again, that doesn't know the whole story. There's nothing wrong with that. How many years did he finish in the top 15 in net yards per pass? Net yards per pass, top 15.
Twice.
Okay. 3 times. 9 times they finished outside the top 20.
Let's reset, by the way, who he had. His quarterback and teams that we're talking about.
So he had Chad Pennington, Brett Favre.
He looks so young that he hasn't been around. You would not think he's been around that long, but he had Chad Pennington and Brett Favre.
Oh, yeah. He was like a 33-year-old coordinator. He was like Kellen Moore at one point.
Pennington, Favre, Sanchez, Russ, Dak.
Okay. Before Dak.
That's not the worst.
But it's not the best.
Oh, no. It's not.
Right.
Well, the Favre time in New York was bad. And Pennington was never a push the ball down the field guy.
Yeah.
No, he was like a smart guy. He was a brains guy.
Sanchez was a bust.
And Russ was really good, but how much of that was manage the game, Legion of Boom, versus let Russ cook?
That was kind of at the end of the Legion. This was 2018 to 2020. This was like the let Russ cookish.
Yeah, I mean, this was those 3 years. These were Russ's stats his 3 years with Schottenheimer. 35 touchdowns, 7 picks, 31 touchdowns, 5 picks, 40 touchdowns, 13 picks. I mean, his three best years were with Schottenheimer.
That makes me feel better. That makes me feel good.
Now, in terms of, let's see, like points per game, they were actually pretty good in those 3 years with Russ. They were top 10 in points per game.
Schottenheimer and McCarthy, for what it's worth, by the way, they don't see the same on philosophy at all.
They what?
They don't see the same on offensive philosophy at all. Not very much.
I thought the whole word was Schottenheimer was a McCarthy guy.
Schottenheimer is a McCarthy guy from a like
personality.
They think they're good coaches, good motivators, but like Schottenheimer's big role here in Dallas was I will communicate Mike's ideas to the players. The players, I'll communicate their ideas to Mike. Like he was considered a really strong bridge for helping the two understand each other.
So again, points per game, finishing the top 10 five times overall, outside the top 20 five times overall. Not the worst, not the best. If you're hiring to be a head coach, or are they hiring to be for his offensive mind? Like, what are they hiring him for? If it's for his offensive mind, you're probably going to be a little disappointed. If it's for a head coach and you don't care about his offensive mind, you just care about him, the man, the motive, the coach, then, you know, do that what you will.
I was expecting worse numbers, though. I wanted to find out about the guy. Just like with Ben Johnson, like, I want to find out about the guy and his personality. And you guys yesterday had mentioned that Schottenheimer sat down with the G-Bag Nation in Oxnard. I did not hear the interview live. So last night, like a dork, I decided to go ahead and pull up the Odyssey app, and I wanted to listen to Brian Schottenheimer. Right off the bat, again, FAF, I was sick yesterday and depressed, sports depressed, over him being number one on the Vegas boards that this could actually happen. I mean, amazing personality. The coaching interview with him on Fridays would blow McCarthy, and McCarthy was good with us. This would blow McCarthy away with this guy's personality. First 2 minutes, you could tell. Instantly. I didn't even grab the audio, but it was just getting to know the guys, sitting down, saying what's up. I could totally see why Stephen Jones or whoever loves him from a personality standpoint. It was there. You just know. You can just feel it when he put on the headset. So I grabbed some of the clips from the interview, and this is one of the criticisms was boring. What do you call him? R2P2. Run, pass, punt.
That's right.
Well, that was Marty Ball. If you're old enough, like, you know, we are, you remember Marty Schottenheimer always criticized these conservative offenses, could never do enough, playoff choker, but run, control the game. And Brian Broaddus started off with Schottenheimer talking about his pops.
Well, if I can respond to that, number one, thank you. And yeah, it's really cool for me. Obviously, you know, Mike and I were together in Kansas City.
Sure.
But I'll be sitting back in the team meetings, and I'll be making some notes and writing things down of what he's saying. And it's really cool to see whatever year that was, 97, I think was our last year there, 2024, Mike McCarthy still using things from my dad. Like, it literally makes me pause. Like, I'll literally pick up my pen and be like, damn, that's really freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like, that it's still, you know, as the game's changed. Like, we all know the game has changed completely. Right. But, like, there's certain things that haven't changed. The toughness, the physicalness.
That's right.
Take care of the damn ball.
Right.
So, thank you for saying that.
So, that was them reminiscing about Marty Ball, the great Marty Schottenheimer. Here we are talking about offensive chemistry. Now, remember, he's kind of referring to training camp and what's happening in Oxnard. I just wanted to get his overall philosophical football thoughts, offensive chemistry from Brian.
It's the ultimate team sport, right? We know that. Like, again, Zach Martin's a great player, but if Zach Martin and Brock Hoffman can't work a backside combination block together, then guess what? The play's not going to look as good. Or if Dak throwing to Jalen Tolbert and he thinks he should break in and tighter at 45 degree angle, he's breaking in at 60 degree, 90 degree angle, then it's not going to work. So it's really those little things that we're having fun, because we can get through the film quicker. And we're actually probably doing more individual meetings now by position group, because that's what they need right now. They know the plays, and so now it's more of the fundamentals and techniques that we really think in year two will take us even to another level.
Bobby, was he brought in here initially in a Robert Saleh Packer role? Like, to, well, explain that real quick.
Yeah, so he was brought in as the, I don't remember the exact title of his job.
The evaluator of defense.
His job was, he came in here and he would, that week, he was here 2022, he would come in here and he would prep Dan Quinn. So he would say, all right, Dan, this is your defense. I've studied the Commanders this week. And the Commanders, if I was the offensive coordinator for the Commanders, this is how I would attack your defense. And basically it just goes like, here's as an offensive perspective where I think you're vulnerable. And then they would look to tighten those things up.
Here's Schottenheimer talking about that role.
Yes. I mean, I'm a football junkie, man. Yeah. You ask my wife and my kids, man. They're like, you know, who goes home and on Saturday afternoon after doing football all week and you're like, hey, let's watch all five games that are on, you know, TV.
Right.
Like, I'm a football junkie. But that year on defense was really cool for me because while I was helping them try to defeat blitzes and anticipate things, I was learning kind of the whys.
Right.
You know, I've never coached on defense.
Right.
You know, I know like Belichick had a thing that was actually really cool where he'd take a McDaniels or a Daboll when he first got him and they were offensive guys. He'd move them to defense for a couple of years. Like, I think that's brilliant, by the way. But like for me, it was really cool to be there. And some of it, I was like, oh, that makes perfect sense why they do it. And sometimes I was like, holy shit, we just overthought that one. They're not thinking the first thing. You know, we're giving them way too much credit. They're not doing any of the stuff that we thought they were doing.
Yeah.
So, but it was invaluable. And what made it to me so valuable was that the coaches and the players really did listen and respect my ideas. I'm sure there's some people that, you know, they listen to and they just kind of, but I respect them for that and felt like I did have some hand in helping.
I mean, the personality, it's spewing through the radio speakers. I mean, quick with it, likable, getting it. That's just what I got so far from Brian Schottenheimer with G-Bag last year.
If you, I mean, look, if you, this is where you get that guy in an interview and he charms you. Like, he really can. I love...
Well, they've also had him in the building.
And they have had him in the building, too. But
I've been in the meetings.
And that's why players... Like, you can hear why players love him.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, players listen to that and go like, oh, he's receptive by ideas. He's really good at explaining this. He's clearly got the tone to him of he can be your buddy or he can be a hard ass and he can be a disciplinary. Like, that's... I think players really... CeeDee Lamb really respects him. Dak really respects him. They really all like him.
It's like the, you know, do you want the CEO of your company to have never worked in your industry before? Do you want them to like, hey, he worked his way up through the assembly line and then went here and then went there and they had their hands in it and they know how to do everything? That's what he's talking about with going onto the defensive side with Belichick. We talked about having guys that are offensive coaches flip into the defense because Bill, you know, people always said Bill could be the best offensive coordinator, best special teams coach, best defensive coordinator in the league if he wanted to. I think it's important if you're going to be the head coach.
One of the biggest buzzwords on offense is motion. We argue about that all the time here in DFW. Brian Schottenheimer on it.
Yeah, it's critical because what it allows you to do is it allows you to run the same plays but from completely different looks for the defense. So for Dak, his progression doesn't change. For the receivers, their routes don't change. Mm-hmm. What I really believe with motion, the key is right – there's teams, and we're one of them, that moves with a purpose.
Okay.
Like these half-speed motions, they don't do anything. Like even if it's just a motion across the ball, like it should have some tempo to it. It should have some urgency to it. Why? You're making the defense sometimes 5, 6, 7 guys adjust. They have to adjust their calls. Mm-hmm. And so we always talk about moving with a purpose. Like if we're moving with a purpose. We're trying to create a matchup or we're trying to gather some information for the quarterback. Is it man? Is it zone? What are we getting here? Is it shell? Is it one high? All those different things. So we really preach that a lot.
Now, while they preach it a lot, Bobby, if you went and looked at the motion rankings, where would the Cowboys be? Top third, middle, bottom.
They were, I'm trying to remember, they were up near the, it's the specifics of at the motion snap or at the snap motion and just snap or motion before the snap. I think motion before the snap, they were higher up. It was motion at the snap, they were really low.
Because I'm seeing an RJ Ochoa October 2024 article saying Cowboys motion usage has dramatically decreased on offense this season.
So
that was early on.
It did drop. They used more of it as the season went on. And a lot of it was specifically, I think they were third to last in the NFL in motion at the snap, something like that. They were way low. But like actual motion before moving guys around, they were, I think, in top half of the league by the end of the year.
Schottenheimer's gotten criticized for this from a boring standpoint. Let's get his thoughts on the run game.
Here's what's crazy about the league right now. What we see defenses trying to catch up. What do I mean by that? We've always been the ones that control what I call the rules of engagement, which means we pick the personnel, we pick the formation, we pick the motion, we pick the shift, we pick the Kate, we pick everything. And so run or pass. And what you see from defenses now is the multiplicity of defenses that we're seeing and the amount of fronts that we're having to block has made it a lot harder. And so what we believe as a staff and what we want to be is we want to be multiple.
Mm-hmm.
And our multiplicity should help us attack the entire field, right? Whereas, again, A lot of the Shanahan guys, I mean, I remember watching Mike and his guys run it, you know, to perfection with Terrell Davis and those guys, the outside zone. But we want to be multiple, and we're going to run our outside zones, but we're going to have a little inside zone, and we're going to get the ball on the perimeter, and oh, here comes Kevontae Turpin, and he's going to get, you know, like we just feel like that helps you stay ahead of the curve. It's hard to run the ball in this league, and unfortunately – is what it is, but the way we're forced to practice now has made it harder.
Right.
I mean, just think about it. Like in the spring, we can't do any.
You can't have any pads.
I mean, listen, you mentioned my dad. Yeah, I remember OTAs in San Diego.
Yeah.
And it was like OTA 2. I can remember it like it was yesterday. And we drafted Tonyu Fanoti, a 345-pound guard from Nebraska, first-round pick.
Yeah.
And poor Ben Lieber. This is OTAs. Poor Ben Lieber was a Sam linebacker, right? And we ran power. Like, we literally ran, 62 power like five times in a row. And he had just shells on and was having to frickin' force the play. And after five plays, he's like, Jesus, can we run a different play? He's like, what do you want me to do?
Yeah.
But, like, now you get a guy on the ground and it's like, oh, my God, we're going to get fine. So it's just the way the game has changed has made it harder. And so you have to be really more intentional in camp. And then even the preseason game to run the football because you can't do it in spring.
So that's some of what I took from G-Bag. The personality, the communication, is the likability is obviously all there. I just wanted to go and listen to Brian Schottenheimer yesterday on The Fan.
That's why when we were talking about it yesterday before even it ramped up even more at 9 o'clock or whatever that was, when we were talking about it at 6, 7 o'clock, it was like, yeah, the big check mark in his favor is going to be the CEO stuff. Like, if you are looking for just leader, and I wouldn't, Schottenheimer wouldn't be my pick, but if you're talking about we need somebody to control the culture and set the tone and do different things, like you can hear he can do it. Like he's absolutely who's been here.
Does he snap, crack down?
Yeah, he will. I mean, it's not like short fuse, but it's like, yeah, when somebody needs to get an earful, he'll do it.
He can be in a hard ass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, and I mean I think you can hear the years of NFL time that he's had, like he knows when to pick and choose his spots. Again, I wouldn't pick him, but you're talking about somebody the players believe in, and specifically, if it's important to you to have somebody who believes in the quarterback that you're married to, then Schottenheimer's also a good choice because just from that perspective, he does believe in Dak.
So I want to give a shout-out to Tolo Bobby Dubois. He went, and I didn't go and double-check all these numbers. I thought it was enough effort and creative that he went and did this, so I'm going to read it on the air, and I don't think the numbers are that far off based upon what we thought. Well, maybe they are. I don't know. He went through the Wikipedia stops on Schottenheimer's resume.
Oh, that went viral about 2 years ago, so that's repurposed.
Oh, really?
So
Washington quarterbacks coach, 2001, 28th ranked offense. Again, quarterbacks coach, Chargers. The only years of Breeze where he didn't look Hall of Fame level, he was also a rookie starting off. Jets, 06-11 offensive coordinator, wasted some of the NFL's best defenses with Mark Sanchez. Sanchez was a bum, though, right? Rams offensive coordinator, 2012-2014. They were 25th, 21st, and 21st in offense. Georgia offensive coordinator and QB coach, 85th in offense, got Mark Rick fired in 2015. Colts, 16-17, 30th in offense. Who the heck were their quarterbacks in Indianapolis? I don't know. Seahawks 2018-2020 didn't let Russ cook. And then Jacksonville 2021, 32nd in offense with Trevor, widespread dysfunction. So I thought that was interesting. Wikipedia edit. I'll read more often than not.
To be fair to his Chargers tenure, they were 3rd and 5th in points per game in his last 2 years there.
Okay.
And during his Seahawks tenure, they were 6th, 9th, and 8th in points per game when he was offensive.
The resume's looking better, sounding better than I thought it was going to be when this first came on my cell phone over the weekend. Let's get to Brian Broaddus' favorite segment of the day. Let's ask Reddit.
Do you have a question, Kelly?
Yeah, I have a lot of questions. Number one, how dare you?
Frankel and Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text 877-881-1053, 877-881-1053. It is Ask Reddit, where we take the most viral questions off of the Ask Reddit forum, the 50 million member forum, where salacious questions are asked and kicked around, and we answer them here in the studio and get the answers from you guys on the Fan Text and over on the Twitch and the YouTube, which are both up and running right now, the Twitch and the YouTube. First one here, and Sean, I'm very proud of you, because you had picked a song And I know that sometimes when we've done this, you can never come up with one, and you had one ready. I was very surprised. Yeah, but so I'm going to lead off with you.
It was a waste of time. I don't think we could play it. Did you find a playable one?
Yeah, I have a clean version.
He bleeped it. So, Sean, you have intruders in your house and are heavily armed and prepared. What song do you tell Alexa to play?
We used to drive around neighborhoods blasting this in old Cambridge, Maryland. When he snaps and goes, that part where he just snaps, that's what I would do. I would just turn that up in the house, and I think the person would be disturbed.
Disturbed?
Hit him up, Tupac.
Every time you read, do your live reads, and you go, hit him up. Whenever you say that, I think of this song every single time.
When he snaps in this, I mean, I can't get out of my mind.
I'll hit him up.
That would be the scariest intimidation.
Okay, very nice. I was looking for something very creepy. That's why I initially was like, all right, you know, like I was.
You're gonna get molested if you walk in here.
Take that. So no. I'm talking like
Shimon.
Like, so in the movie Skyfall, James Bond, like he's walking through this deserted town, and there's like this creepy kind of old timey song playing. So I was thinking something like that, but I couldn't come up with one. So I decided to do something else. I was like, all right, this song was ruined for me years ago by a TV show. So I'm going to ruin it for them because I'm about to bring hell. Because I assume I'm the one that's heavily armed and prepared, Bobby.
Yes.
And so I'm going to ruin this song for them. And it's a very popular song, and it's Tony Romo's favorite. I'm just going to ruin this song for them. That's it.
Just a small town girl. This is for a robber that comes in your house?
Yeah, because I want to play it on loop. I thought about Baby Shark. I thought about It's Friday, got to get down on Friday. I just wanted to ruin something for them.
Okay.
But so I'll just ruin this one.
Didn't he, I think this song got played in The Losers or whatever the name of that movie was, where Chris Evans is like going through a shootout with this song, I think, or something like that. All right, Peyton, what is your song for an intruder?
So this one I really thought about. I was like, what song could I choose where the intruder's like, man, I really effed up here. And this was the first song that came to my mind.
Now, which one? Is this Hell's Bells?
Is this Melania Trump?
Hell's Bells, yes.
And the thing is, did you see the Hamburglar memes yesterday?
No.
Yes, I did.
But
the goal is to take the intruder out before it gets to the chorus, before it gets to the actual lyrics of this song. So you got about a minute here, 60 seconds. That's I think I can
one.
Do it.
That's a good one.
Some good answers on the Fantex 904 Jacksonville area right there. I would play Vincent Price for Michael Jackson's Thriller. It's not bad. The little outro there.
I really think the genre has to be like heavy metal, though. Like if I walked in and it was Mark Colombo and Corey Proctor, just like I'm like, oh my god, this is like rage and heavy metal. Yeah. I would be intimidated by that as the robber.
Disturbed's version of Sound of Silence could be great.
903. Let the Bodies Hit the Floor. It's pretty good right there. 972. Cotton Eye Joe. At least somebody's playing Cotton Eye Joe again. Yeah. There you go. 972. This would be my song, no doubt about it.
It's what you hear and listen. It's what you hear and listen. It's what you hear.
It's perfect. You don't like that song?
I'm not saying. I'm saying song. For your choice. I'm judging off choice. Oh. If I'm walking in, you know, it's too lighthearted. It's not intimidating enough.
Dude, I think it's very intimidating.
You're right. You're trying to.
I'm trying to scare someone.
I think X Gonna Give It to You is very intimidating.
I think everyone at the beginning of that goes. I think the robber would go.
So they're distracted.
Yeah, I think they would walk in and go. He's like, oh yeah, that's a good one. You know what? It's too dancey. Like it's not scary.
Man, in the air tonight, somebody wants the 915 wants the little drum solo there. I'm Coming Out by Diana Ross.
There you go.
Some good answers. All right, we're doing Ask Greta here on 105 Through the Fan. Ooh, Sean, this is gonna be a good one for you here in a sec. I'll lead off with Chop. What's the correct etiquette if you win $1 million on a lottery ticket Christmas gift?
The correct etiquette for what?
The person has given you a lottery ticket. You scratch it off in front of them. Scratch it's $1 million.
Million bucks. See, part of me is saying, well, it was a gift, but I would say 20%.
That's a lot.
And give us RJ Choppy math on that.
Well, after taxes, you know, it's like down to 600,000. So what is that? 200,000? I have no idea.
No, 200,000 is off.
I have no idea. 150 grand?
No, it's 180. All right. So, no, if you look at the, I think that to me in my head, I go, I think I would just say this is a gift. Like if I did
no,
it,
you wouldn't.
No, if I did it, if I gave it to somebody. And if I saw it. If I gave it to somebody, I saw that I would not expect anything.
This is
from both perspectives, I'm saying.
Okay.
If I gave it to somebody, I would not expect anything. I'd be like, that's a gift. I don't deserve any of that. I gave it to them.
I see what you're saying.
If I got it, I don't know, not 20%. I'm thinking like, I'll give you like 20 grand, something like that. That's like, what I would think.
How close are you with them, right? Is it a friend or is it like a family member?
I think I'd just give 20 grand regardless.
Let's do us. Like, okay. We walk in and we all do the, you know, white elephant or whatever it's called.
You're like, Merry Christmas. Didn't you guys say it to me?
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, and if I win $1 million, I'll kick you 20%.
25 grand.
Yeah, I was thinking 50. I was thinking 50K.
I was thinking 75, but, you know.
75,000?
Of course. Yeah, I answer first and then all you guys can say a number higher than me, so I look like a douche.
Bobby's the a-hole here. I went with 10%. I was like, 100K, you know, if the million is after taxes or whatever, do that math. But yeah, I went with 10%. Give him 100K, because I think, on my perspective, if I'm the one giving the gift, 100,000, if you give me 100 grand back, I'm fine with it.
What are you, okay, but so from the perspective you've given it, what are you expecting back? Are you expecting anything?
If I give you guys the lottery ticket and you win a million, I'm expecting something back.
But how much? Like in your head, if I just said,
so if
are you expecting different amounts from all of us? Would you have?
Yeah, I would expect the least from Peyton. Yeah,
I don't think there's any way Choppy's actually giving 20%.
Yeah, I would.
I'm expecting the same from both of you. Probably, you know, I would expect 20 to 50K.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah.
All right, but this question is obviously so ridiculous. It's not ridiculous for the reason you're thinking, you're never going to win the lottery. It's ridiculous because I don't trust anyone's answer until that damn ticket is in their hands.
So what are the?
How many people lie?
No answer is true until the money's on the table.
One of the Reddit answers on there said, my uncle used to give us all lottery tickets at Christmas, but he would put his name on them when he handed them over to you. So like, they were technically his tickets, and somebody was like, that just sounds like that was free labor. You had to scratch off the ticket for him.
My father-in-law said 50%. No, I would give Rudy. I'd give Rudy.
Seems high.
The amount to take money from him. I give him 85%. They draining my guy over here, Rudy. I have to give him some money.
All right, we're doing Ask Reddit here over on 105 Through the Fan. Some of the answers, by the way, on the Frankel & Frankel Injury Attorneys Fan Text, 10%, 100K off a $20 ticket? No, because if you gifted me a $20 gift, I gifted you one. So they're saying they'll give you $20 back. We're doing Ask Reddit here on 105 Through the Fan. Peyton Russell, what have you... No, let's do this one. What was the scariest city you've ever been to? Because I already know Sean and RJ are going to say, the gas station in Oxnard. Oh, my gosh. All the gangsters. It's like, turn down that hit 'em up. I don't want to play that around here. Peyton, what's the scariest city you've been to?
So I don't agree with Charles Barkley a lot, but it's San Francisco at night. I went on vacation, 5 or 6 years ago to San Fran.
Set up the clip.
Oh, well, this was Charles Barkley on TNT, and they're talking about, you know, guys going to the All-Star game, Cade Cunningham, and Charles Barkley basically refused to go to the NBA All-Star game because it's in San Francisco.
Cade Cunningham's had a season.
He's had a great season. And won 24-7-9 with 7 triple-doubles. Man, he's been balling.
Oh, he don't make the All-Star team. I'm not going.
Yeah.
I'm not going to that rat-infested place out in San Francisco.
Oh, stop, man.
Golden State.
Just look at the highlights.
Golden State.
Miles Turner hitting another three, and then a big swat.
That was a beautiful city.
And then a big finish by Tyrese Halliburton.
His couch chugging got rats. Cat,
111 to 100. La, 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 la. 111 to 100. Indiana with the win.
Y'all are not going to make me like San Francisco.
23 and 19. We're not. I know. Just keep it to yourself. 21 and 20 now.
No.
Thankfully, just one more highlight to get to.
Yeah, now you just assume everyone's on something at that point.
When did you go? What was your experience?
This was, I'm guessing it was 2016, I think, because we had gone to a Giants game there. So, you know, before we
Giants
get there,
just started in 2016.
It was
I thought you just said 5 years.
Yeah, I had 2016. Said 5 years. You know, I'd set a date, and then I was thinking, I was like, when did I really go? Because, you know, 5 or 6 years could be 10 years or whatever. So
I was there in 2014 before we went, and then we went to the Super Bowl like 2 years later. Like, I was there really quickly before the Super Bowl, and it was nice. And then with the Super Bowl, it had taken, like, such a turn for the worse. No, mine is Labor Day weekend, my freshman year of college in Knoxville, the RA. Everybody had gone home for Labor Day weekend, and I lived too far away. I was already here. And my RA's like, hey, let's go do something. I was like, okay. So we go for a ride. And we go into the country. And then all of a sudden, we turn off the highway. Now we're on a dirt road. And now we're, like, getting further into the woods. And now we're getting deeper onto more dirt roads. And we go up into the mountains, and there's this boarded-up shack. And I thought I was dead. I thought.
Are you on a ride with Aaron Hernandez?
I thought John Voight was going to come out of the woods with Ned, whatever his name.
Ned Flanders.
Yeah. I thought Deliverance was happening. No, it was a moon. So I thought, but it was a moonshine distillery. It was a home moonshine plant. They were cooking up moonshine in their bathtub. But for the moment, that was the scariest moment of my life.
Is this the scariest place or city?
So city. So not a fan. 105.3 says Tijuana. If it's the U.S., they say Baltimore.
And that I have the dominant one over all of you.
Was that going to be what you were going to say? Was Baltimore?
It's Baltimore.
I've never been to Baltimore. So the scariest place I've ever been is at night. There's some parts in south, like south side of Houston, that are not awesome to be around. Over on the fan cam, we got Farshad Hassami says Chicago is the scariest place at night. All right. Let's go with one more question here on Ask Reddit here on 105 through the fan. Sean, what's something normal to us right now that by 2075 will be seen as barbaric? Like, wow, people really used to do that 50 years ago?
Barbaric?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, probably the way we talk to each other.
Yeah.
probably the way we talk and treat each other.
Not anymore.
I mean, what happened yesterday with, I stay away from this stuff normally, but... And Choppy, I think you'll agree because I remember some of your past takes probably better than you do.
Definitely.
Booing all the presidents coming out. That was disgusting. That was shameful.
Disgusting.
That was barbaric. It was like a WWE event with former just show a little bit of respect. You don't have to agree. You don't have to like come on now. Like I thought that's the way I was raised of come on, show a little bit of damn respect. That was disgusting.
I'd play golf with any president as long as they were fast. Got to play fast.
Yeah.
That's my only rule. It doesn't matter who it is. The five-day work week.
Barbaric?
Yes, barbaric. Absolutely barbaric.
No, I've thought in 50 years, the death penalty is going to be that, I think. And that's as somebody who supports the death penalty in some circumstances. Circumcisions says the 3-2-1.
Oh, no. Nobody wants
956 driving cars.
What about football?
Football very well might.
In 50 years?
Could
how many?
Be. UFC maybe. One of these little blood sports.
Yeah.
Things like that. A lot of people on the fan text saying abortion. Peyton, what's your answer?
Mine was working on Fridays, just like Chow. It'll that's be gone, right. but hopefully right. in 50 years, that's it'll
right.
be gone.
That's right. We'll be out of the workforce.
Ask Reddit, commercial-free expressway on DFW Sports Station. Your home of the Texas Rangers and the Dallas Cowboys, and no one loves the NFL more. We need NFL overreactions or not around the rest of the league. The Lions have missed their window. The Chiefs are going to three-peat. Washington winning was a good thing for the Cowboys. RJ's overreactions or not next.
After we get you over to Zero Res, get that carpet professionally clean. Cleanway, Greenway, Zero Res way. Best carpet cleaner in the industry, RJ Choppy fan special. It's buy two, get two. So you're getting basically four rooms, right? So buy two, get two. Buy two rooms of carpet cleaning, get two free, $109. That's the total cost. Four rooms for $109. And you take $75 off your air duct cleaning. It is the biggest sale ever in celebration of the new year. We're going to leave all that dirt back in 2024. And now in 2025, we've got the good stuff. Right now, you start the year clean, fresh. You had New Year's parties. You had Christmas parties. You had Thanksgiving parties. And now you've got time because the kids are back in school. They're out of the house again. You can get the carpet cleaned during the day. Zero Res. Best carpet cleaner in the industry. They don't use soaps. They don't use chemicals. They don't use detergents. They do my house every single year. It's fantastic. It's the RJ Choppy fan special from Zero Res. 214-37-CLEAN. 214-37-CLEAN. 214-372-5326 or ZeroResDallas.com. Swallow backwards or forwards. It spells the same as Zero Res. Ooh.